message this morning is entitled, God Needs Some Real Men. God needs some real men. And there is really a shortage of real men among the work of the kingdom of God here in this end time age. He needs some real men and not panty waist. I want to begin with a scripture in James 5, 17 and 18. And today is March the 24th, 1985. The text, James 5, 17 and 18. Elias was a man. I could stop right there and have the subject well covered. Elias or Elijah was a man. Let me continue. He was subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And this man, with like passions, in other words, with emotions and feelings and humanity, with the natural drives and forces that you and I have, he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Let me repeat the text again in verse 17 of James 5. Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Elijah was a man. And this man was subject to the same kind of passions or feelings or emotions that you and I are likewise possessed in our humanity. He was a man, but the fact remains he was a real man. And as we study his biographical accounts in the history of this man, the Bible records, you can find he was a real man. He wasn't a panty-waist preacher like most are today. And God seeks real men here in our generation, not just males. He's not looking just for fellas because they are male gender. That is not what God's looking for. God is looking for real men. He seeks real men. And he's not going to have anybody and commission or ordain them to do his work except real men. Now, there's a lot of mimickers. There's a lot of pretenders and hypocrites out here claiming God called them and God sent them and God anointed them and God gave them a vision and all that mess. But you can look at them and tell they're not real men. You can examine their lives and their preaching, their ministry, and all about them, even their physical appearance. They don't even look like real men. God wants you to look like a real man. If you're going to be a real man, then look like a man. Dress like a man. And let your lifestyle portray the lifestyle of a real man. Now in Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, the last two verses, 30 and 31, God said, I sought for a man. I sought for a man among them. And God wants that real man among God's own people that are many times moral cowards. They falter. They're double-minded. They're not sober. Lord have mercy, they're selfish, egotistical. God wants real men among his people. So here the prophet said, speaking for God, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Now I want you to notice here why God sought a man, a real man. As an old song we used to sing years ago said, give me some men, some stout-hearted men that will fight for the right they adore. Boulder and bolder and shoulder to shoulder, praise God, they march right into the war. And let me tell you something. God's tired of selfish, faint-hearted, double-minded, egotist-type preachers that have overflown this generation with their naughtiness and haughtiness. God needs a change in things among his people. He needs some real men to stand up. Praise God and break the drift of God's people. Like
Winston Churchill wrote of one of his forebears, the Duke of Wellington, when he fought and defeated Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo. He said, he was observed by his troops and his generals as being an iron peg driven in a frozen ground, immovable. He said he knew that the storm that Napoleon had brought from France northward had to break. And if he didn't break, the storm would break. And he broke the storm in the fury of the great invasion of this would-be world conqueror, Napoleon. By standing his ground and being a real man, and because he was a real man, he inspired the courage of his men that were afraid of Napoleon until they themselves were like the Duke of Wellington, who was their commander himself, and they stood with him like iron pegs, driven in a frozen ground, immovable. One man cannot break an avalanche, no matter how strong he is. One man cannot break the power of the apostasy and the ignorance and all the unbelief and all this unfaithfulness and compromise that has got into the church of the end time, but he must arouse 1,000 or 10,000 more to stand immovable with him as men of courage and destiny, men that are unselfish, men that are not faint-hearted, men that are not double-minded, men that are not egotist or egocentric in their concept of themselves and their own abilities, that they rest their ability and put it into the hands of God and say, God, use me. At least I am a man. Use me for your glory. I sought for a man among them. God sought for a man among them because in Ezekiel 22 and verse 25, God told this great prophet that was a man and stood up against these other false prophets. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. Like a roaring lion ravening the prey, they are devouring souls. They've taken the treasure and precious things. They've made many widows in the midst thereof. Who do you think's getting the treasure and the money in this end time among the people of God, claiming they're doing the work of the kingdom of God? It's the same type of people here. These prophets and preachers that are out deceiving the people, they're hypocrites, they're mimickers of what a real man of God should be, and they're ravening the prey. They're destroying souls. They've devoured them. They take the treasure, they take the precious things, and they make many widows in the land thereof with this type of perfidy or this type of rejection of God's ways and their compromise with anybody for the sake of popularity and gain. Her priests have violated my law. They profane mine holy things. They put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. Now right there, let me stop. The preachers of this generation are moral cowards, and they're traitors to any trust you put in them and any trust that God might have put in them. They have betrayed the trust that God's people put in them. They will not put difference between the holy and the profane, and they will not show God's people the difference between the unclean and the clean. They won't show you the difference between truth and error, between a scoundrel and a man of God, between a false prophet and a real prophet, between holiness and worldliness. They'll not even put a line of demarcation, and they've operating God's people, brought them into a vast gray area where the black and white have run together, and they can't even separate truth from error, right from wrong, profane from holy, clean from unclean. And God's people are being destroyed because of this perfidious act of these so-called men of God. They're traitors to every trust that anybody puts in them. My feelings are expressed best, I believe, by Edward Everett Hale, one of the patriots back in the Revolutionary era.